Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to another episode of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We're so blessed that you're joining us today. You know, many people today are always striving to move up on the next rung on their career ladder, always trying to get more, do more, be more. But what happens when you achieve it? What's next? How many would put on their resume that they'd leave the corporate world behind and enter into their true life's calling of serving the Lord? Well, my guest today has done just that. Dr. Bruce Hartman, a former CFO for Fortune 500 firms such as Yankee Candle Company and the Foot Locker, he left the corporate world to follow Jesus, went and received his doctorate in ministry. In a storytelling fashion, he gives practical insights on how to have a strong faith life with the power of Jesus. His first few books, Jesus and Company, Your Faith Has Made You Well, about a year ago, he was on our program discussing Spend a Year with Jesus. But today, we'll be discussing his most recent book titled, Jesus is Everything, Discovering It All When There's Nothing Left But Jesus. Help me welcome back to the program, Dr. Bruce Hartman. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me, Bob. It's always a treat to be with you and always spiritually uplifting as well. So thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, Dr. Bruce, like I said, I appreciate you coming back on our show, but for many of those who may have missed our last interview, let me start off with this question. Other than that brief information I just shared, can you tell us in your own words, who's Dr. Bruce Hartman?
Wow, that's interesting. Well, you know, I'm a grandfather, which I take great pride in, and I'm a father, which I also take great pride in. And I had the privilege a month ago to marry my daughter, which is that's really a wonderful experience. Yeah. You know, I'm also today I'm a Christian business counselor. I help writers, aspiring writers, you know, frame their books and help them connect with the publishing world because it's a difficult world to navigate and there's a lot of subtleties for it. But I also counsel people, mostly people that have lost their jobs, Bob, usually through no fault of their own. And it's terrifying to lose your job. And many of them suffer, you know, we use this term PTSD. They really do suffer from PTSD. So I'm able to use my ministry as well as my business background to help these folks get new jobs. I help businesses, particularly businesses that aren't doing well. So I'm kind of a fix-it person at this point in my life. And I'm also an author, which I love to do. I write, recently a good friend of mine, Pastor Lou Strigala, was saying, if you only can change one person or help one person get closer to Jesus, then isn't that your mission? So I've been thinking about that, Bob. I don't think that's my mission. Mm-hmm. I think my mission is to help all I can, not just be limited to one person. So I've got poor Pastor Lou thinking about that. But that is what I try to do every day. I have a social media format to do that, well over 50,000 followers on all the various formats. Mm-hmm. And I issue, I know you do a morning prayer. I usually write a morning prayer every day on social media. And we post, most of what I do post is designed to help people realize that being in business and being with Jesus isn't really that incompatible, that it's very compatible. And most people have to work. 95% of the people in this world will have to work at some point. So I think this is a good ministry. And my next book after the book that we just published, which is Jesus is Everything, is going to be called Jesus is Good for Business.
Amen. Oh, I can't wait to get you on this one. That's awesome. Amen. Well, let me ask you, when you know, you had a successful corporate career, and when you were contemplating, just to lay the foundation for our listeners here, when you were contemplating making the move from your corporate career and returning to school to earn your master's in divinity degree, then continuing on to earn your doctorate, what was the driving motivation that prompted you to make that kind of move?
Well, it had actually started 10 years earlier. You know, I noticed clergy were asking, well, the head of our church, I'm a United Methodist, by the way, had asked me to be the lay leader. And then he wanted me to visit nursing homes to help the, you know, the invalids there. And I was thinking, he's seeing something that I'm not seeing. And I started getting feelings and unusual events drawing me closer to leaving the business world. And it was over a period of about 10 years. Mostly I didn't have enough time for Jesus when I was working. But if I finally got to a point on a Monday evening, about 1 a.m. in the morning, where I finally made that decision, because I felt like that was the time to do it. It was the time to fix my soul, to answer Jesus's callings. And I was in a position where it made it easy for me to do, because I had accomplished what I had always wanted to accomplish from the age of 8. And there was nothing more for me to accomplish. So I decided to leave the business world. But I knew I wanted to be in ministry. I wasn't quite sure yet what that was, Bob. But what I decided to do was go to school, because I didn't want to do this, you know, kind of fly by the seat of your pants. I really wanted to learn about Jesus, and I didn't think I was qualified, and I didn't think I would be in a position to help people unless I went to school. So it took me about 3.5 years to get my master's in divinity, which, by the way, Pastor, the master's in divinity is almost as tough as getting a law degree or a doctorate degree, which I had no idea. It's 90 credits, and you got to go visit the world, and it's a lot of things you got to do. I still didn't know what my calling was. So I decided to continue because, well, my classmates would go on to become ministers in churches and things like that. And I did run a church for the homeless for a few years. But I really felt like I needed to know even more. So when I got into my doctorate program, my studies really centered on, and it was because of some of the professors, it really centered on Jesus and business. So I've done a lot of scholarly research. My thesis was based on it. I actually used social media as a way to show that Jesus exists on social Amen. Media. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what we're doing today is what I did my thesis on. So, Amen. And then I graduated and started writing books and doing this counseling. And I can't tell you that I'm perfect or I'm the best. I can only tell you that I feel a lot more comfortable than I did 7 years ago or 10 years ago when I started this journey.
That's awesome. Amen. Amen. And you emphasize that you're not a traditional minister, but you sense the Lord was willing to lead you into a form of media ministry. So, I mean, I know you have a podcast, and you know, you do your daily posts and all that. Explain what your ministry, you know, your podcast and all that. What do you do there?
Well, we do. We have one podcast is called Two Men and Jesus, and it's me and a pastor. Every Saturday morning, while the birds are chirping, we talk about something like we'll talk about the Lord makes possible what we think is impossible. And I'm sure we all know that verse. So we'll talk about things like that. We talk about grief. We talk about things like miracles and perspective on life. And, you know, I think it really centers on that, is helping people with their perspective about life and how it connects to Jesus. And the other thing that we're going to be starting to do in the next, I'd say, month is a podcast, Jesus is Good for Business. And Amen. I'm more and more, I've always believed Jesus and business were compatible, but more and more as I see scripture, like for instance, I was doing research this morning on Mark 6:54-56, where it's this story about all the people from all the villages and all the towns, they brought the sickly to the marketplace. So I encourage your listeners to read that verse. And so why would people bring sick people to like what we would consider Wall Street? Why would they do that? Well, that's because that's where the first century people met. They met in the marketplace. So, and it, you know, things like that really confirm that what I'm doing is on the right track.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. And your book, your recent book, Jesus Everything, what made you believe this book was needful for this time in which we live today?
Well, it was out of a sense of compassion. I had an experience with a very good friend, very good fellow Christian, whose father was dying. And I listened to his story. And it's the story, the book starts out with this process of death for this 88-year-old man. And his death was over a seven-day period. You know, he had Alzheimer's, early-stage Alzheimer's. And he had some type of blood disease, and he was diabetic. And so he was out for a walk on a Saturday morning, collapsed, was brought back into his house, and this was during COVID. And his wife called the doctor and said, I think he needs to go to the hospital. And the doctor, this is a great story of compassion, said, you don't want to send your husband because you'll never see him again. Mm-hmm. So we can do in-house hospice. So they did in-house hospice. So this journey helped this man, instead of being in a clinical place like a hospital, he was in his home. All 18 of his children and grandchildren and his wife were all able during that week to say, I love you, and hear back from him, I love you. And for this fellow, James, he was able to help his dad connect with Jesus, because that can be a very scary time for somebody. And, you know, through that process, you know, the man developed a relationship with Jesus. And at the end, all he had was his family, his wife, and Jesus.
Yeah.
And the son, one of his sons read him a poem, and the poem is, Jesus is waiting for you. And, you know, as he entered into paradise, that's how he went. So I was thinking about the story, and I was thinking about, what else is there that we have, that's everything else is temporary, you know, the ability to shave, the ability to go to work, the ability to think is all temporary, but Jesus was there and is always there. Amen. So that was start one. Start two, I love to ask questions, Bob, on Twitter. You get some really, it always blows my mind how insightful people are about Jesus. So I asked this one question about around the same time this was going on. I asked the question, who is Jesus to you? And some people said, Lamb of God, you know, my protector, the Messiah, things like that. But I found, Bob, this very interesting thread where a number of people said, Jesus is everything.
Amen.
So, and people don't give you the answer like the Lamb. They explain why Jesus mm-hmm. is to them, whatever they say. But in this Jesus is everything, what I concluded was Jesus wasn't a genie for these people. It wasn't just somebody that they went to when they're in trouble or in prayer. They were thankful. They, you know, people, I hear stories like this. Some of them would say, I have a gratitude journal. So every morning or every night, depending on your time of day, people list out the things that they were grateful for. So, you know, when these people got up in the morning, they thought, what does Jesus want me to do today? You know, when these people were in trouble, they went to Jesus, or when something good happened, they thanked Jesus. So I wrote a book about why and how Jesus is everything.
Amen.
And then what I did was I took, you know, my standard format is always 12 chapters in honor of the 12 tribes of Israel, right? So I did 12 chapters on things like how to incarnate Jesus in your life. And how to feel worthy. Not everybody, by the way, Pastor, feels worthy of Jesus's love. So chapter about, yes, you are. We all are. So it's a wonderful book, not filled with theology and difficult concepts. It's about stories about people that I knew, that I've interviewed. And as the chapters started to take shape, I started filling these stories into the chapters. And there's a lot of wonderful people to meet in this
Amen.
Book.
Amen. Amen. You know, to live our faith, to openly serve and proclaim Jesus as Lord, as you say, to live the gospel, that requires courage, especially in this current politically correct climate today.
Yes. I mean,
does your book share how someone who may be struggling with sharing their faith, how they can find the courage to take that faith stand in the face of this kind of opposition?
Yeah, it's throughout the book. And, you know, you just said something that's very important, and it's part of my ministry is I've been working with an author who's writing a book about how to bring Jesus to the workplace. And she's always talking about telling people, but that's not what that's bad evangelism. It's more about how we live the gospel, which is what you just said. You know, it's better to be the gospel than to say the gospel.
Yeah.
Because without action, it's our words become very hollow. So living the gospel in the workplace is very important. Little things, Bob, like when I was working near the end of my career, I kept the Bible on my desk. And naturally, even though I was the number two person in the company, the head of HR came and said, that's against company policy. So I had read the policy manual. I said, show me in the policy where it says I can't carry a Bible on my desk. I can't place it there. And she said, well, it's not specifically in there. Well, then if it's not specifically in there, the Bible stays here. And I said, you know, it's interesting. I bet I get more people coming into my office to ask about their life than you do. And she says, why is that? I said, because they know that Jesus is behind what I have to say. So part of courage is to not think short term, not think about, well, a few people may not like this if I act outwardly Christian. But in the long term, when people are in trouble, when people need help, they'll understand who and what you are. So I say that to everybody that, you know, I was watching a school committee meeting where they were complaining about Jesus and Christians. And they were saying things about Christians that weren't true. But the speaker continued to say what he had to say. And to me, that's what courage is you're always, and even Jesus, he had the evil spirits, but just stay with Jesus. He'll get you through. To always have courage in the long term. Don't think short term. Short term is, I don't want this pain in my life. I don't want to be embarrassed anymore. No. Stick there, because in the end, when you get through, people will respect and recognize who you are and what you stand for.
Amen. Amen. And you share that following Jesus is simple to understand, but hard to be completely faithful 100% of the time. What can someone do when they feel like they're coming up short and they have that sense of feeling like they let the Lord down?
Well, seeing that I do that every day.
You too?
Okay. Well, I think this part of being Christian, you know, Genesis 1:27, it says that we're made in the image of God. Doesn't mean we're God. Oops. Sorry, Bob.
That's all right.
I'm just going to leave that. Oh, you can edit this out, I hope. Okay.
Probably. Yeah.
We'll try one more time, I promise, Bob.
Not a problem.
But I think, Bob, there's really three steps. The first is prayer. Yeah, well, we're going to have to go. Let's try this instead. Sorry about this, Bob. My grandchildren are visiting, so I have to use this alternative. Is it okay if I do it like this?
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay, sorry about this, Bob. So I think that, back to your question, the first is prayer. You know, don't just apologize and don't just ask for forgiveness. Ask for wisdom. What is it I can do better? Am I being too short-tempered? Am I being too judgmental? There's something like that. And then the second thing that I think is just as important as going to the Lord. I think the second thing, Bob, Pastor Bob, is that we have to go and observe. Mm-hmm. And so if you say to the Lord, am I being too judgmental? Watch the Holy Spirit work the next couple of days. They'll leave you with some sense of unease. Oh, okay, how I address that person is probably not as kind as I could have addressed them. Or, look at, you know, maybe it's your actions. Maybe you love money more than Jesus and you feel that. And you'll be put in circumstances of that. So it's prayer. It's watching the response from our Lord through the Holy Spirit. And then it's our acting, because our journey with Jesus is never complete until we enter paradise.
That's right. Amen.
And I love Billy Graham's quote, I'm just passing through this world. Heaven is my home. And I think if we think about life like that, that we're being perfected as we're here. And that's a very Methodist comment, by the way, Pastor. You know, that we're being perfected here. And I think that that's, to me, the biggest thing to do is pray, be honest with yourself, and then be honest as the Holy Spirit convicts you when you make a mistake. Because the Holy Spirit will say, no, I don't want you to do that.
Yep. Amen. And I love when I get that prompting from the, because I'm, you know, I have my idea. Okay, this is how we're going to go with this. I'm going to implement this, and this is going to be great. And then there's something like, nah, don't do that. And, right. But I've already initiated the plan. You know, I mean, I'm already moving down this road. I mean, I got to put, you know, it's a lot harder to stop something once the momentum is going, you know, but as you pray it out, it's like, yeah, okay, I'm not going to go that route. Then everything stops. And then everyone wants to, well, why did you stop? You know, it's just something inside of me is saying, don't do it. And later, you find out you're right. You know?
Right. And that's the thing. That's the thing about being connected is once you have, that you get that feeling, we hiked the Appalachian Trail, my wife and myself, a few years ago. Oh, actually, 2019. And one of the things that you hear about the trail is when you get a sense that you shouldn't be doing or going someplace because of potential danger or an individual that you meet, you're told to listen to that feeling, right? That's really just the Holy Spirit helping you. Mm-hmm. And so anytime we listen, we did well. Anytime we didn't listen, we kind of got ourselves into a jam. Mm-hmm. And that's really what I think we're talking about here is prayer for the Holy Spirit to be with you, but also to pay attention. And the other thing I've discovered too, Pastor, is that Jesus will never send you any place without the right resources.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Yeah, he is definitely the one who prepositions everything you need along. You may think, if I go over there, what am I going to do when I get there? Well, if you're really being led by the Holy Spirit, that connection is going to take place when you get there.
No doubt.
That's not to mean you just go blindly forward. But right. There is a faith element involved in that.
Yeah, I agree with another thing you said that I think is really important for me is, many times, it's particularly in this age, we'll see something and think, oh, that was the answer. Mm. But what I have found being reflective for more than just a moment, maybe it's a few days, maybe it's an hour, just to kind of let it sit in and seep in, you get a far better answer. Yeah. And I now catch myself saying, okay, glad I didn't jump when I first thought I had it.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Back on your book, in the first chapter, you discussed the man in the bed. Is that the person you were talking about
in
the beginning? Yeah. Okay. That was him. Okay. Right. Go through that concept a little bit more.
So, I really thought about the man and thought about him as a human. You know, he was one of the early folks at AT&T that had developed the phone systems that we use today. So he was a fairly significant executive and had a wonderful reputation and had a significant amount of power in his life. He had a wonderful family, and his family still misses him, of course. And he got up every morning and shaved. And every morning he had breakfast. And every morning he had lunch, just like all of us. But at the very end, he didn't have to shave. He didn't have to go to work. He didn't have to read. He didn't have to watch his favorite Clint Eastwood movies. All he had left was time with his family and Jesus. And that's the essence of what I'm trying to capture in this book, is everything else is unimportant.
Yeah.
Amen. Except Jesus is everything. Yep. And amen. His last moments, he had been comatose most of the day. and his son read him that poem with his wife holding his hand, and when and with his eyes closed. And when the poem was done, he opened one eye and said, "I love you," to his wife, and passed. Yeah. And you know, that to me, that I don't think we can capture the goodness of Jesus any better than in that story. And it certainly has helped. It's helped the widow grieve, and it's helped that family grieve, knowing that he's safe.
Hey folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's portion of our interview with Dr. Bruce Hartman, as we're discussing his book, Jesus is Everything, Discovering It All When There Is Nothing Left But Jesus. Amen? In this book, Dr. Hartman is uncovering the real Jesus, the man behind the religious legend. And Dr. Hartman shares what Jesus wants us to accomplish with our lives as well. Amen. This book is written, folks, for real people, just like you and me, who are seeking answers to real life issues. Go down to the show notes, order your copy today, and be sure to come back for our next episode as we continue our very interesting discussion with Dr. Bruce Hartman. Amen. Till next time, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.